folks, Pro Football Ireland, a special episode. It's funny because we usually do Monday and Thursday during the off season, but I had to do a different episode this week. We've got a lad from, I have to, the Tyrone man in me, Jude, saying Mid Ulster here, but I know you're a Derry man, a Swatter man, a lad that played college football and has now signed with an NFL team with the New York Giants. Jude McIntamley, first off, Jude, massive congratulations to you, lad, and thank you very much for doing this.
No problem, thank you. Happy to be on.
So, well, here, I think not just me, but I can imagine a lot of people up around your part of the world will be very, very happy to have you on. Half my family is from Balanced Green Direction, so if anyone starts arguing with me now, I'm basically a half Derry man, so I'll say no more. But, like, genuinely, it's surreal, and it's great to see somebody else sign with an NFL team, signing with the Giants as an undrafted free agent after the NFL draft this week. Let's talk about it in depth in a few minutes. We'll talk about yourself and your journey first, but just, I guess, you know, firstly, how does it feel to sign with an NFL team generally after your whole journey?
It's definitely mixed emotions, I would say. Like, part of it, I'm relieved that I've got signed. But also the other part of me is just, like, really excited to take the next step. You know, obviously it was an important step, but it was a step that I thought I could make, and I have made it. So I think all focus now, like, after the celebrating and stuff, all focus is on to what's next, you know.
Have you had many people reaching out to you over the last 24 hours? I say it's been a bit mad, is it? Yeah.
my phone's been going off a good bit now, but no, I'm getting a lot of good support from home, like everyone from Swadra and Derry, and even further afield, you know, everyone's texting out, telling me congratulations. So just getting around to thank everyone. It's definitely a task in itself, but no, like, the support's been amazing so far.
It's a good thing to have. I think I said to Charlie a few weeks ago, I was like, look, people know you're busy, don't worry, you're grand. It's definitely a good problem to have in that sense.
Yeah.
So for people wondering, people listening, this is the first time, and maybe if they didn't see you in the IPP, just going through it, Jude. Born, obviously, you're from Swatra, you went to St. Pat's Mahara, St. Mary's, played Gaelic with Swatra, but you're also an under-20 champion with Derry. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in terms of, you know, the difference between you and some of these others, lads, is you didn't play as a goalkeeper. You played, I believe, in midfield as well.
Yeah.
At what point did you think to yourself, I want to try American football?
I was always good off the ground when I was young. Like, I think I might have my first 45 at like 13, 14. And like from then, I was kind of like, it's always something that I was good at, even if I practiced it or not. It was just something that came natural. Obviously the ambition to maybe go pro was in any sport in my life was always like an ambition. Like, I wish when I was younger, Gaelic football was on paper professional. I know the guys train professionally now, but I kind of always wanted that. But I suppose it was always on the back of my mind, but I never thought of maybe going out and doing it. What kind of kickstarted that was when David Shanahan from Kerry committed to Georgia Tech. He trained with Pro Kick Australia. And so I got in contact with him. I was like, mate, this is awesome. Like, just, I was like, get me onto the right people and I'll just do it, you know? So David was good in that process. He got me onto Pro Kick. And kind of we took it from there. Obviously, it was during COVID, so it was an easy time to like experiment and stuff. So I was like, maybe I was going to the field by myself and kicking and everything. And like, I had no distractions from Gaelic at that point. So I think from there, like, it kind of kickstarted.
I'm presuming from the minute you stepped foot in Mahara in school, you know, Gaelic sport was sort of centered to your life, and to sort of see what you'd done there and say what you said from David, because I think you sent me a DM as well, like last year or the year before. I'll not repeat what you said, but it was obviously a very positive message. Yeah. It's really surreal looking back in that, because I seen David post it at the weekend, and we're pulling for him and for every lad trying to make it now into the NFL over the coming years. I'd love to just stay on the Derry point for a second. A friend of mine, a guy that some people would know very well on social media, Niall McCoy, he put a tweet out yesterday saying that 2008 Derry squad that won the under-20 Ulster had yourself, Callum Brown, Anton Toehill, who were in the AFL down under, and then 15 lads went on to play obviously county football. And the last time I checked, Derry aren't doing too bad. They're doing that good. The Mickey Hearts even just with them now as well. So it's mad to sort of think, you know, you're talking about COVID there yourself and that jump over the space of 3 to 4 to 5 years where everyone is. But what was it like playing on that team that won it?
I think that Derry 2018 team, it was probably one of the best years of football I've personally had in terms of not just performance maybe, but just like the team cohesion we had that year. I think everyone who was a part of that panel, like Mickey was manager at that time, and Chris, along with Chris Collins, you know. So I think if you'd ask anyone on the squad at that point, they would say that was like a really, really good summer, even just to be around lads, you know, because I remember at that point, like, every training session was sunny, it was competitive. Everyone, personally, I'm speaking for myself here, but I just know training with that team, it was always fun to do. And I think that really, and maybe definitely helped us along that journey to go on to win Ulster. And then obviously we were put out by Mayo in the semi-final, but even to get that far was, it was just great, you know.
It's great to see. Look, at the end of the day, if you're from Ulster, to see any county go far, especially at that age group, is great to see. So congratulations on that. And you'll have to give your mate Connor Glass a shout to try this out next year, at some point as well, we'll see. And you're talking about... Oh, here, we'll see. I think he's too busy playing football and making coffee at the minute. You talk about David Shanahan. What was Pro Kick Australia like? Because I know a lot of guys listening to this podcast will know about the IPP process. We've had Connor Mangan on, who's obviously forged his own journey in the States. But what was the whole journey with Pro Kick Australia like before you went to play college football?
Yeah, so it was actually limited at the start. Because of COVID, I couldn't fly to Australia. So actually, me and Dave spent a month in America in early 2021. We, funny story, like we had to fly to Serbia and quarantine there for 2 weeks, which was a whole story in itself. And then we had to go from Serbia, and we spent a month in Utah, and then like visiting other colleges, just like training and trying to get like film out there. Like through that time, I gathered enough film to like send a Pro Kick, and from there they got me a Division II school to play for that fall semester. So I was in North Carolina from August 2021 to December that year. And then from there, that was kind of just like, learn your trade there, like, see how you get on, and then we'll review things the year after. So I had a pretty solid start at the D2 school. So I made the decision to leave. And so in March 2022, I was finally able to fly to Australia. So I flew there for a month. I trained with John Smith there, who part owns Pro Kick Australia, and also Nathan Chapman. So I was just training basically every day with those guys, and then I ran out of money, so I had to go home, and then luckily enough in April the opportunity for a scholarship at Rutgers came up, and they were able to secure my spot from there.
I'm actually just talking like just off the bat here myself, just out loud, but I wouldn't be surprised if a college like that eventually plays in Dublin over the next few years, because they've got such links to Ireland, obviously, for where they are in the United States, and it seems like a really interesting university as well. Yeah. The scholarship offer comes up, obviously, like that's the most Irish story ever there, you know, running out of money, having to come home. When you came, like, actually, just going back in that 2 seconds, when you came home, did you still have that self-belief, or did you have to just tell yourself, look, I've done what I've done here, I have to just wait? Were you going home in the hope of, I'm hoping I'm going to get a scholarship here, or like, are you very optimistic, because you seem very confident in yourself in a good way?
Yeah, I think I always knew that I was going to get somewhere. Like, the goal was, no matter where I got offered, I was going to play there. Because I thought, like, once I get onto the field, I could do my talking there. I would say I had offers maybe from other schools, like, during that time, and they fell through, and it was very disappointing. And there was a stage in April of that year where I was very unsure that it was going to work out. And obviously, I was getting asked to go back to play for club and stuff, and, like, having to say no to the people who you've played with all your life and try to explain that you're trying to do this thing was definitely difficult. But I think in the end, it was definitely worth it. Like that wait during that period, having no money and stuff, and just like committing to it, it was definitely worth it.
I think lads like yourself, Charlie, for example, young lads that are playing Gaelic football, maybe changing local opinions, I'd say. I'm just, again, talking out loud here in the sense of now I think if you've got youngsters 17, 18, 19, that would tell their parents or tell their coaches, I'm going to try this. I think you lads have honestly changed the game now because you've shown that there's actually a direction there, which is fantastic to see. Really open question. You go to Rutgers. Like at this point, like are you missing home at all, or are you just excited for the opportunity? Because usually,
I would say the periods where I miss home the most was maybe during the season that year, and then the following, like off season the year after, because it was just like obviously when I first initially moved out in May and June, I was just trying to get settled, and like I was distracted by everything anyway, so missing home wasn't really at the forefront of my mind. But obviously, like the season's so tough, and Rutgers is historically known for being like a really, really tough program, but it really, in a good way, it really disciplines you. And I think just maybe missing home in that period was probably at its highest. I'd definitely say, fast forward to the season after, my parents made it out, my girlfriend made it out to a game. And my two brothers also got to a game, so that was definitely an easier transition, because you're playing with like the people that you love are at home and they're watching you there play. It just made it all the easier. You didn't feel, let's say, isolated, so
That's great, especially it's on the right side of the States as well for getting over, which is even better, I'd say as well.
it's handy flight.
I'm really intrigued to hear this answer because I obviously like I asked like I don't know like Rory Beggan and obviously like if you're a goalkeeper, you obviously like your main job in a match is to save something, but mainly it's to kick, right? So if you're coming from a non-goal kicking position, how did you find the transition between using the Gaelic football and using an American football? But then also, I'm presuming, that you would have put a serious amount of work in behind the scenes, obviously kicking Gaelic footballs, kicking American footballs, outside of that for 45s, whatever. So how did you find that transition?
I initially found the transition easy enough, because like when I was first practicing, we just practiced off like a stick, so like there was no operation. I think the biggest transition from kicking Gaelic football and then kicking American football in game is with the Gaelic football, you have all the time in the world to hit your free kick, bear in mind that the referee holds you up, but there's nobody really in front of you putting you off, and like there's no other variables with that. The big difference with American football is you could do everything right, but someone else might not do their job, and it affects your process, So I think that's definitely the biggest. It's the hardest thing to adjust to. And I think it's something that, from the outside looking in, it wouldn't be appreciated how much detail goes into that process. Like even for the likes of the Irish lads, like learning and kicking off snap, holding the combine and stuff. Like I thought it was very impressive because it's a very hard thing to transition to. So I'd say the kicking's the easy part. It's the transition going from a hold and snap and big 300-pound man in front of you trying to take your head off is the main thing to get used to.
And thankfully, you've had that experience there in college doing that. McCrory, Hogan, Derry underage. How have you found sort of the transition of look? I know football, as in Gaelic football at home, is very well supported, but you're obviously going to bigger crowds and such in the States. How'd you find that? Because like I know it's a situation like I like correct me if I'm wrong, I'm presuming you haven't been in front of a full crowd in Croke Park. So it must have been a big like, oh my God, sort of moment when it was just whenever you walked onto a field at some point and it was the full on packed college game.
I think it's funny, it's interesting. Like I find obviously it's really cool to see. Like we played at Ohio State in 2022 and then we played at Michigan in 2023 there, and like Ohio State, they had 104,000, and then Michigan had 109,000. So like that is just like is like daunting in itself. But I think once you're in your process and you have a job to do and you just focus on that, I think that takes away maybe from the big crowd being there. I say, like, it's a funny thing that I found if 500 people watching, it was maybe harder than 100,000, because you could probably hear what those 500 people are saying. They get, but like with 100,000, with 100,000 crowd, like, it's just nearly like white noise. It's all one noise, you know. So people can would be surprised when I say that, you know. So
it's funny because, like, you talk about going to, like, the big house in Michigan. Is that the moment that it sort of hit you, going, oh my god?
It's funny, you're just that distracted in season, I would say. Like, definitely looking back on the season, you wish you enjoyed it more, because, like, as a team, like, we're going there to get a win, and you have to pull your weight, you have to do your job, and that kind of takes the forefront of the focus. I would say maybe one moment in that match, they actually got a pick six on us, and we were dominating the game, and up until that point, we were just unlucky, and they got a pick six, and the crowd just erupted. And I remember just in the sideline, like, looking to the side of the teammates, I was like covering my ears, like, it was like it burst our eardrums, you know, just the roar. But I think that was probably at the point where, like, you kind of realize what kind of crowd you're playing in front of.
There's never a dull moment, hey? And it's funny because, like, you obviously go from that to the whole process. Obviously, the NFL draft was last weekend. I'm of the belief, if I'm correct, so you sort of forego the draft and look at the free agency situation there. New York comes knocking, which is obviously good because you're already based around there anyway in terms of New Jersey. I don't know if I can say this, so I'll edit that out if needs be, but obviously I believe you had workouts with Jets, the Giants, and then obviously signing with the Giants. In whatever way you can, Jude, can you maybe talk us through that sort of process, and maybe just, you know, how nervous were you? Like, because that's obviously a huge opportunity. It's actually reached a point now, I guess, in Ireland, the fever pitch, where I've seen firsthand that there's a real interest in the development of athletes out here, like, just even through blogs off the street, you know?
Yeah.
How did you find, you know, going to the Giants, working that, etc.?
Yeah, it's funny. Before I actually got those workouts, I kind of came in under the radar, if that makes sense. Like, my college career was solid, but it wasn't something to get me on an NFL team alone. It maybe got my foot in the door, but to get signed off that, my college career wasn't that. So Rutgers, obviously, they host a pro day every year where, like, 40 different NFL scouts come and watch you perform at Rutgers and work out. And I would say for that day, it was more nerve-wracking because at that point, I had no invites to workouts. So it was kind of like, if I didn't perform that day, it was like all or nothing kind of thing. So I kicked 17 out of 22 on that day, which is solid. I felt I left some on the table, but and then I had a long of a 63-yarder in an indoor. So, you know, I was very happy with the performance, and luckily it was enough to get an invite to the Giants and the Jets local days. And I suppose it's funny, like, my mindset going into those days was I had nothing to lose. Like, at that point, it was just bonus territory. So I'd say my mindset going into the Giants, going into the Jets was what you want. Like, if I had that game day, I'd be really happy. So luckily, on the Giants, there was older kickers there. And I happened to kick better than them on the day, which really, showed, like, how good I could be. I went 10 for 10 that day, and then we had 2 from 57, so I couldn't have went better in that aspect. And then we did kickoffs as well, so kickoffs are nearly my bread and butter, so I was able to showcase that as well. And, like, similar things with the Jets. Like, the Giants was on a Thursday, the Jets was on a Friday. Going into the Jets, I was like, oh, how could I top the day I had at the Giants? So definitely the Jets was a tougher day because I had the expectation of my own performance the day before. But luckily, I went in there, went 9 for 10, and my miss hit off the top of the upright. So and had long 58 as well. So like, that was another great day. Look, to be honest, I just had fun and I just enjoyed the experience when I was there. I suppose like, especially from the Giants, like the treatment they gave me was class. Like I just felt at home straight away. And ever since that day, I was hoping that something would work out with them.
Look, I can't speak on behalf of everybody here, whether we're in the north or the whole island of Ireland, but obviously a massive congratulations. To see someone from here sign with a team is one thing, but to see, obviously yourself and just your journey, dude, is just unreal to see. Like, I mean, you go to New York. Have you had a chance to chat to the special teams coordinator yet? Like Brian Dable, like I've met him in person. He looks Irish. Like, I'm just gonna leave it there.
Definitely.
Have you had a chance to sort of view the facility yet, or is that all with mini camps coming up in a few weeks, or what sort of goes from here?
Yeah, I suppose we got a glimpse of the facilities on the local day. Just their indoor and like I had a chat with the special teams coordinator and briefly. I think even just from their chat, it was always like really positive, and they thought that just for like my leg strength and power that they could really hold down and develop me that way. So any conversations I've had with like Giants coaches and the operations guys has all been really positive. I think they see something in me that maybe I didn't see. No, like even like leading up to the draft, they kept in contact with me and told me that they would have interest like after the draft. Like I'd find out after the draft. And they gave me the word. They said they'd let me know if they were interested or they wouldn't be interested. So like I thank them for that. And like just that whole week leading up to the draft, I don't think I really slept good all week. Cause like I thought at the point where like they're giving me that much feedback, I thought they're not going to sign me, like it'd be weird if they didn't sign me at that point. So no, it was just great to get the phone call, and we verbally agreed on committing. So no, it was awesome, like, and they've been great through the whole process.
That sounds like a team you want to play for there, if they're sort of treating you like that. That's fantastic to see. Look, I am not going to put you down a hole here. I'm just going to generically say that anybody signing with a team in that position is obviously going to be battling for their job. That is how it is, and obviously the very, very best of luck with that. One of the great things though is I've had a chance to chat to Graham Gano before. He's great crack. Like, you've got a lad there born in Scotland, and then obviously Jamie Gillen as well, punter. You're gonna have some crack there, lad. I'm presuming they might not have reached out yet, but I'd say you're in for some crack over the next few months with them, to be honest with you.
That's it. Like, look, they're both like Jamie and Graham, like they're both like the top level, both their positions. Think in a sense, just to even go there and learn off them, like, will be like a huge positive. Like, obviously, like from a personal standpoint, I'll be going in to do the best I can. But at the end of the day, like, they're the pros. They've been there, done that before. So it's just about like going in, trying to learn as quick as I can. And yeah, as you say, like just make friends, like get on with them, trying to get comfortable within the group, because I suppose you'll be spending most of your time with those guys anyway. So I think if we all get on, it makes it a much more easy and enjoyable experience.
Obviously, the Mara family own the Giants. Rooney family own the Steelers. There's a lot of talk recently. But look, the Steelers have indicated it's on their website, folks, that they'd like to play a game in Ireland at some point down through the years. I really hope when it comes to it that it is the Giants because of the connections between the two families. But for you, down the road, here's your motivational part here. What would it mean to be, I believe, to be the first Irish player to play for the Giants if it happened? It would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And you're going to have to find a way if it happens to get a Derry logo on the back of your helmet, aren't
Get a sweater badge,
you?
No, I know it'd be no that's definitely the goal, I think. Obviously you could say it's a dream, but it was a dream to get to this point, and I've done that. So look, you never know what can happen. Obviously I'll just keep positive, keep my head down, keep working. And look, I'll just take it as it comes, like I could go there, do really well, or I could not, you just never know. So I think it's just maybe enjoying each day as it comes, because it might go by so fast, and you're always thinking, oh, what if, what if, what if. I think you just have to knuckle down and stay grounded, and just enjoy it day by day and take it from there.
Finally, have you any chance to come over, or just to come home over the next few months? I mean, if Derry win the All Ireland, Will you come home? Or like, I mean, for now, I guess mini camp at the time of recording starts, what, 1 2 weeks? Is there any time to get back here at all, or to celebrate a wee bit? Or
I'm maybe 80 to 90% sure I can come home. Obviously, like, just for like the schedule we'll have and stuff, like, I'm not sure that we will. Maybe just on like visa aspects, I might have to go home, but that's to be confirmed. So, to be honest, like, other than seeing my family and stuff, like, that'll probably be the main pull to go home, like, seeing my girlfriend and stuff too. So, but hopefully, if that can happen, like, they'll be able to come out here and maybe get them out for a game or something if it comes to that point.
I'll speak to my local MLA about getting the New York flights from Derry Airport here over the next few weeks. Here, Jude, look, it's one thing chatting to anybody that makes it into the league here from here, but it's class to see what's happened, lad. And look, I definitely, and I know a lot of people listening to this podcast, would appreciate you taking the time out to chat to us. Hope you've enjoyed it a little bit. And I'm sure, please God, we will stay in contact just over the next few weeks and months. But all the very, very best in New York, and chat to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.